Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around the racetracks. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm great. Great, I got to go to the racetrack.
Man, I mean, we're there in Martinsville hanging out.
Try to talk a little bit, interject where I could. Hard with you guys.
Get a word in edgewise up there. Exactly. You got Moody down there barking in the corner and Jeff and Alex up there, you know.
You guys are also good. It's just trying to find a place where I can add a little bit to it. It's a challenge.
Well, I'll tell you what. They didn't need to add much to the Hendrick Motorsports camp this weekend, did they? My gosh, what a performance up there.
Yeah, and really, you know, 40th anniversary of their first win with Jeff Bodine. Cool to have Jeff Bodine and Jeff Gordon there to give the command along with
Rue Reeves, one of my summer shootout and Millbridge kids. Rue races up there. Both of the stuff that I do, I love it. Love to see when he does that.
So, yeah, it was really cool to see that. And you know, I would say after the challenges that William Byron went through last fall, if you go back and listen to it, I mean Rudy's up on the chip trying to coach him through. He didn't have an air conditioner helmet, but he was exhausted, but. They weren't in a position, but they found a way to make it. But I would say after the performance that they had there last year, Hendrick Motorsports went to work and said, we've got to make an emphasis out of this. And knowing that they were going to have 1,500 employees and family, it was really awesome to see that off of turn two. But an awesome day. They put together all four cars, top 10 all day long. And really, I thought, you know, those three were top five all day long.
Spent a little time on Sunday morning with Rudy, one of my favorite guys. I do my pit grids, and I love when I see that 24 because I don't like to bother crew chiefs if I don't have their pit area. You know, I mean, I respect your time, their time, so I love when I have it. So just sure enough, and Rudy is always so gracious with his time. And I said, you know, you're starting in the 18th spot, what's your take? And he said, that qualifying lap was an outlier. He says, we're really, really good. And he says, we're just going to march our way forward. I said, are you going to try anything as far as off-sequence strategy? And he says, I don't feel like we need to. I feel like that we can methodically pick our way forward. He says, we've got 400 laps to do it, and I think we can do it. And I just, you know, you hear the phrase calling your shots. Rudy called a shot. He's not that pompous guy standing at the home plate pointing to the home. He just called a shot where it was just like, I just feel like we're good enough to do it. And sure enough, I'm watching. I think they got to eighth by the end of stage one.
They finished eighth.
A lot of the heavy lifting was done then.
And 10 spots in a stage.
That's a lot.
At Martinsville is a big deal. I mean, this isn't a race that you pass 15 cars. This is a race that you work on getting one car. And then you go ahead and go to work on getting the next car. And that may take you 10 laps. I mean, Their drive forward, really, it wasn't the first 15, 20 laps. It was once we got to about lap 30, you just saw that 24 car start rolling forward and just really, really could roll the speed in the center and exit with drive. And that's pretty hard to beat, as everybody else found out.
But, I love the strategy that they did. They were the first one to pit. And Rudy with two wins in the bank, felt like he could take a little bit of gamble. I think that pit stop works out really, really good, but this is where it comes back on William. William hustled up and got by Denny and Chase rather quickly after that.
Yes.
And to me, the pit strategy, a lot of people are saying the pit strategy is the winning move. Yes, it's part of the winning move, but William hustling up and when everything was good, getting by everybody was, to me, just so critical.
The piece that worked in that, I mean, he came to pit road fifth and came out fifth.
Yes.
Through the whole cycle.
Right, correct.
Through the whole cycle. They didn't cycle themselves in front of anybody.
Right.
Every car they passed was on the racetrack.
Exactly, yes.
But he did, to your point, he came out by being the first one to pit road, and a lot of teams have analytics that can show this. They rolled out in a clean racetrack. They had a straightaway opening in front of them when they came out. So, and this is something I don't think that everybody understands, because we're used to seeing like intermediate racetracks. When you come out on cold tires at Martinsville, it's like being on ice for a couple laps. You got to get, you know, more like what the Indy cars fight. Cold tires don't make speed. You got, when we had group qualifying where we could go, our fast lap was 4 or 5. That's how this has always worked out. You got to get heat in the tires. Well, he had those 2 laps of clean racetrack to not be hustling, not be sliding tires, to just work on getting his tires where he wanted them. And then his tires were at temperature when everybody else pulled out in front of him.
Right.
And that's what I think allowed him when, you know, because the 9, the 5, and the 23 pitted the next lap and came out in a clump in front of him, and he run right up to him. And then they got to lap traffic on colder tires, and Williams on a little better tire. The 11 rolled out and actually had a little slower pit stop, had to race the 9 there side by side. That all jumble allowed William to take advantage.
Yeah.
And he took advantage of a couple of them, but then he just drove by the rest of them. I mean, it's not the best car won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like, you know, early the 5 car looked good in the, you know, Joey stayed out and was good for a while. Then Denny run him down and at the end of stage 2 and won the stage. The 24 was coming all day long. If he had started, if they didn't have the outlier on Saturday qualifying,
we might have had,
we'd have talked about them being really, really, really
good. Yeah, we'd have had like 2022 where they just dominated the race. Yeah,
yes.
That's how good they were.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Good day for Hendrick Motorsports. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 8th. A couple other ones that just jump out on me. 23-11.
Yeah.
Bubba Wallace, top 5 all day long.
Really was top 3 most really, all day
top
long.
3 most
Ran
all day
long. Second forever.
Yeah. Really, really good. And not as good statistically, but I think is good progress made. Tyler Reddick, this has been a struggle for Tyler Reddick, and for them to come out of there with a 7th place finish, I think there's 2 23-11 teams that came out of there feeling really pretty good about things.
Yeah, definitely. I think Booty and Bubba again.
Yeah.
Just continuing to put solid efforts together. And Tyler Reddick wasn't as competitive as we thought, but he was one that won on the tire strategy. They came and got 4 tires. He started 11th. But when they threw the green flag, when he crossed start-finish line, he stuffed them 3 wide to start with, because that's what you can do with 4 tires.
That's what you do with 4 tires.
And he got himself up to 7th for a 7th place finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuart Haas Racing, 2 cars in the top 10 with Ryan Preece and Chase Briscoe. And I don't even think the 2 cars were the best at Stuart Haas Racing, but whatever the situation, Josh Berry looked so good for quite some time there. Looked really good. Stuart Haas.
That long run, the racetrack really took rubber, which I didn't think it would. I thought it'd be too cold for it too, but it did, and I think that changed the comers and goers. But Chase Briscoe, solid day all day long. Josh Berry, I thought early was going to be a contender. Kind of got cycled into it. I don't even remember how they got there.
I looked up and saw 25th place finish. I'm like, how did they get to 25th? You know, but
Ryan Preece put himself in a good position. He and Chad Johnston just kind of blue collared their way all day long and stayed on a lead lap on that long green flag run and put themselves in a top 10 finish.
Yep. So Martinsville Speedway was a good weekend up there. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was. And really, I'm going to give kudos to my old guy, but Blaney was Blaney was on the struggle bus a little bit early.
Struggle bus? You're being kind.
Well,
you know, I mean,
they weren't as good as I thought they'd be.
Right.
And they lost some spots in stage 1. Then they had a loose wheel at that and had to repit. So they started tail end. And Hassler made a really aggressive 2-tire call at the end of stage 2, got them back some track position. And then they got that long green flag run. And Ryan did what he does when that place rubbers up. He just drove forward.
He's really good.
I mean, he was in a position that Chase Elliott keeps that thing straight. It'd be interesting to see where Blaney got to. But I it was, you know, a blue-collar day. Really good finish for those
really
guys.
Really good finish, that's for sure. So a couple other winners up at Martinsville Speedway, NASCAR Xfinity Series. It was the Dude Wipes 250. Eric Almirola picked up the win, the Dash for Cash winner as well. Tyler Allen, 2nd career win for Tyler Allen. He won with John Hunter Nemechek up at Las Vegas. His first year as a crew chief. And here he is with 2 wins with 2 different drivers. So that Joe Gibbs program. And what are we at? We're at 4 wins or 5 wins straight because Chandler Smith won a couple of races. 4 or 5 straight for Joe Gibbs
JGR.
Race. They're really rolling there in the Xfinity Series. And Craftsman Truck Series, Long John Silver's 200, Christian Eckes, Charles Denneke, Charles' 8th career win. Christian Eckes is a driver racing with confidence.
Yes, he is. It was. I mean, the 2 best trucks ended up battling out for the win, but...
Yeah.
he drove his way back through to get there.
The conventional wisdom was, and this is the conventional wisdom on the radio traffic of Christian mm-hmm. Eckes' truck. When we got halfway through stage number two and everyone pitted, they were like, okay, we're going to salvage two stage wins and see what we get. Because they knew that thing had flipped. Mm-hmm. And they were on the wrong side of the flip for the race win. What they were on the right side of is a good race truck.
Yes.
And the other thing on the good side, I love the radio communication. When he lined up along on the outside of the front row, he lined up, he said, tick tock, let's go get a clock. A confident race car driver.
Yes.
A confident race car driver, and they're doing a good job.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job. Really good job. It was good to see the two of them race for it there at the end, two best trucks there, but he was the best truck.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was,
And he didn't let it overcome him. He just did what he had to do with it.
A lot of guys have lost races with the best truck or car.
Yes.
He did not do that. Yep. He took the best truck and the best truck to the win.
Yeah.
And I love that. When he cued the radio, I said, man, this is a different Christian Eckes. This is a Christian Eckes that now belongs at the front of the field here.
Yeah, if you look at it in the truck series, I feel like the championship four, you can pencil in Christian Eckes and Corey Heim. And then we just have to figure out who the other two are. Something can happen.
Performance sitting here in the early part of April.
He was close to making the championship four last year and would have been in a better spot if he did.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. It's all good. Great, great stuff. That's for sure. We're going to talk to Luke Lambert, our old buddy Luke Lambert on the show. That's going to be awesome up at Spire Motorsports. Always love catching up with Luke. Be nice to see what he says, how they're progressing up there in their new digs.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the relationship with him and Carson Hocevar and just how that's kind of maturation. And talk to him about where that is with everything that changed at Spire in the offseason. I can't imagine everything they're going through, but let's get a little insight there.
Sounds good. That's for sure. Before we get to that conversation, we'd like to encourage you to subscribe to the MRN channel. If you're watching this on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify or iTunes, subscribe to our channel here so you know everything that comes down the pike. We also would like you and ask you to share if you like what we're doing and like what we're doing here on Crew Call. So we appreciate you doing that. And with that, we're going to step away. When we come back, Luke Lambert from Spire Motorsports joins us next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area. And this week, we're going to go up to Spire Motorsports. Joining us, crew chief on that number 77 car for Carson Hocevar, Luke Lambert joins us. Hello, Luke. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
It is great to catch up with you always, whether we do it at the track or here on the program. Luke, 8 races into 2024, new situation for you at Spire. Driver you're a little comfortable with. You had 8 races last year. Kind of assess the first 8 races of this season with you and Carson.
Yeah, I think it's gone fairly well. I mean, for the most part, we've gotten started off really on track for where we wanted to be. You know, the biggest thing for us this year was to just make progress all year and really start putting some processes and things in place here at Spire that we need to build upon to get to where we want to be in the long run. I've been really proud of the group for coming out of the gate relatively strong from kind of where we started and starting to put together a little bit of history and build upon that week in and week out as we move through the season. But as you said, it's been a lot of new things for all of us, for really everybody in the company. So it's been a lot of challenges, but everybody's rose to the occasion, and we're starting to make gains weekly, and I think it's starting to show up with a little bit more consistency as we move into the season.
Has the chaos of all the change, I mean, really, you look at it, has that settled? You went from one cup team to three cup teams, absorbed a truck team, I mean, and moved into a new facility. I just can't imagine everything that went into, you know, pre-Daytona. Has that settled and found a routine?
I mean, I don't know that it's ever going to settle during this season. It has calmed down a little bit. We are in place. We've got, you know, the move is for the most part complete, although we're still changing stuff inside the the facility here to put some more meeting space in place and, you know, little bitty details, but we've got all the cars packed in and we've got our process for how we execute week in and week out with the truck teams and the cup program. So it's a lot packed into one little small space, but everybody's doing a good job working together to help each other out and ultimately, you know, as a team, put better race trucks and race cars on the track every week.
I want to go back to this weekend. 17th place finish at Martinsville. A pretty decent day, I thought. You know, hung on the lead lap for quite a while. That long green flag run there at the end, I think you late became a victim of that. But just talk about the weekend you had at Martinsville.
Yeah, you know, for us, Carson and I worked together at Martinsville last year, and it was probably of the eight races we did, our worst race. We really knew we needed to go to work there. And so coming back this year, we worked together, put some focus on it with our other teammates here and really tried to put our heads together for trying to come back with something better and do a better job managing the weekend and work our way through that. I feel like we made a good step in the right direction. I feel like it's going to help us a lot when we come back in the fall to be way ahead of where we even were going into this weekend. But we got a lot of the fundamental pieces of it sorted out. And really, our goal was to go and have the kind of weekend that we did. We needed to execute on Saturday, practice and qualifying, and then go into the race and just keep ourselves in the race the entire day. And so we did that, and we as a result of that, you know, we've got better information when we go back, and now I think we can execute practice and qualifying a little bit better. You know, a lot of the things that we're trying to understand is with our cars, our program, and Carson, you know, what kind of balance adjustments do we need going into qualifying? What's our approach? What does our approach need to look like for qualifying? And then when we go into the race, what do we need to adjust from there, and how do we need to manage through that? So we've gotten better, and obviously from what we learned from last year, we came into this race and improved, and so that was really what our objective was. And just to keep ourselves in the race all day long. I think there's a couple things that could have happened one way or the other where we might could have gotten a little bit better finish, but ultimately we stayed in the game for most of the day and you know, came home with a top 20 finish, which was really our goal going in.
Talk about the difference between going to racetracks that you and Carson got to work together and those Steve brought up, the eight races that you ran last year at Legacy. Talk about the difference in going to those with a notebook, at least one where you know what each other have talked about, to going blind.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. You know, Richmond, for example, was a racetrack that we didn't go to together last year. So you're trying to look at, you know, history that Aspire had here and try to remember some of the things that we did last year that, you know, weren't with Carson. It's just hard to go into a weekend without having all that information built up. We're going to build that over time, but you know, having the experience that we had last year together just helps us understand, you know, how to approach races when we're going back to tracks that we've been to before. And you know, we are fortunate to have good teammates here. And I think part of what is going to be our strength as we move forward is working together with the other race engineers and crew chiefs on the other two teams here in Spire and really leaning on each other for races. So tracks that we haven't been to together, we've got to really not just lean on our experience, but lean on these other guys' experience and try to put a better car on track and try to get all the data that we can through the weekend. You know, the more we can be aligned team to team, it helps us get the most out of practice. And if one team happens to be in the group that's less preferred as far as practice or qualifying, and you don't get great experience in practice because of that, we can lean on each other. And so we really try to collaborate. And as a result of that, I think it helps us make progress each and every week, you know, even if we learn something that we need to not do in the future.
One of the old adages in racing with the drivers, I'd rather have one you have to pull the bridles back on than one you have to kick in the keister. And as we followed Carson come up through the ranks, he's had his moments where they felt like they've had to pull the bridles back. How is he developing in the Cup Series? He's in no headlines, which is, I'm sure, good news for everybody. But how is he developing, and how do you keep a young guy like that wants to get out there and win Cup races? How do you manage that, Luke?
Well, you know, he eats, sleeps, and breathes this stuff. He's truly as into the craft of racing as anybody I've ever been around.
Yep.
So it's all he thinks about. But really, the way we manage it is just we got to keep our focus on what our primary goal is and make sure we don't get distracted from that. And so, you know, as you're going through preparation, we got to have that mindset. And then as we're executing the weekend, we got to also have that mindset. We got to constantly be thinking about what our ultimate goal is and does the things that we want to do or do in a moment, does it support the mission, right? So that's really the focus that we put on. And Carson's done a great job of maturing really fast. You know, he's still only 21 years old. He's super young to be in the seat that he's in right now. So there's a lot on his shoulders, but he's doing a great job of really putting his energy in the right places and keeping his focus on the task at hand, which, you know, it's hard to do sometimes when you're trying to manage your emotions in a race and trying to race and compete with guys that aren't used to racing and competing with you, and they don't want to give you the respect that you feel like you're owed. But yeah, ultimately, you're not really owed anything in the sport, and you have to earn it. And so he recognizes that, and so he's just keeping his mindset right, I think. And I think that's been a big benefit for us this year, just be able to kind of manage some consistency, because ultimately, if we keep our mindset on the mission at hand, then some of the other distraction and noise can kind of be silenced out.
So I'll hit this one as a two-part question, because you've brought it up. You use the word goals, but so at this point, what are the short-term and long-term, long-range goals for the program? And then I guess on that, expand upon the challenges of the race weekend when you get yourself in you're what, 25th in points, 25th, 26th, yeah, something around there. Talk about the challenges that is for a weekend when you're in a points deficit with qualifying orders, with just where that ends up. Some of those metrics that it becomes even harder to big yourself out when you're a little bit behind.
Yeah, that's a great point. So starting the season out with Spire in its current state being relatively a new organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Spire of 2024 really looks completely different than last year and even more different than years in the past. So going into this season, it really was a fresh start, and especially with Carson and Zane coming in and lots of new folks. So we really tried to be careful about managing our expectations and trying to be realistic and try to put goals in place that we could hit, right? So our goal to start the season hopefully is different than where it's going to be at the end of the year. But we really wanted to get out of the gate and be able to consistently run in the top 25 and build upon that and create a history that we could improve on week in and week out. So I think we've largely gotten mm-hmm. close to reaching that. We've had a couple of races that we didn't get the result that we probably should have based on the car speed and what we brought to the track. But then we've had, one race at Richmond where we just didn't execute good as a team. It was a little bit of race cars, a little bit of pit road, it was a little bit of just not managing the weekend based on history. So largely, I think we've started to get in the group in the section of the season where, hey, we can start looking at reassessing our goals and moving forward, because we find ourselves top 25 in points. There's a really small margin to say the next 10 guys in points, it's attainable to pick up a lot of positions, but it's going to happen slowly. You're in this point of the year where the points don't move very fast because everybody's really tight. And even though, you know, you might look at the points and say, hey, if I had 50 points, I'd be here. Well, it's hard to gain 50 points on 7 or 8 guys, right? Mm-hmm. You can gain it on 1 or 2 guys. They have a bad week, but you don't gain it on a lot of guys fast. So right now it's just about looking at all the little parts of our race team and breaking it down on what are we doing well in each one of the little parts. You know, we take all of the things that we do from a pit crew standpoint and we break every one of them down. And we don't just look at how fast was the pit stop, but we look at all the little things that happened at the pit stop and figure out what we got to do to clean up little components that ultimately result in a better pit stop. And we look at the rest of the program the same way. You know, what are we doing well on our car preparation side, and what's preventing us from bringing a better car to the racetrack? We're constantly going through that stuff at the shop. And as you kind of mentioned earlier, you know, getting settled here and all the new chaos, there's a lot of that still going on to be able to bring what we know will be a better product to the racetrack as we get our construction build processes better. Same thing's going on in engineering. And, you know, I could kind of go through the whole list, but right now the goal is to just look at all the little things of the program that we need to improve on and focus on those things. And the results will follow, right? And I really feel like when we go to the racetrack, our objective is let's try to finish in the top 15. That really is what our objective needs to be right now as we go to the racetrack. Now, of course, if we find ourselves running better than that, you know, you just focus on racing the next car. But right now, we don't want to get too overwhelmed in saying we have to go win the next race, when really we just need to know that we're making incremental gains and improving every week.
Luke, we got about a minute and a half left here in our conversation with you. Texas, what are you looking for? What do you need to do? What's your car need to do to have success this weekend at Texas?
You know, Texas is somewhat unique for a mile and a half. It's really fast, lots of high grip, but it's really different end to end. And really the key from my standpoint is you're going to have to be able to get through turn one and two and get off turn two fast. For the most part, cars in three and four will be very similar. There won't be a lot of positions decided based on how well you get through three and four. But what will determine your performance is how well you get through one and two and how fast you come off of turn two, because turn two leads you down to a, you know, the long back stretch, and then you stay in the throttle all the way through three and four for, you know, a lot of the run. You barely come out of the gas. So however fast you come off turn two is going to be what dictates your car speed, and that's what we got to put our focus on.
It's going to be fun to watch, that is for sure. Luke, we appreciate your time as always. Good to catch up with you, and we wish you well at Texas, and I'm thrilled. But thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Thank you guys for having me.
There we go. Luke Lambert over at Spire Motorsports, that number 77 car with Carson Hocevar. Stay with us. More Crew Call in just a moment.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. Love catching up with Luke Lambert, one of the really good guys in the garage. And we were chit-chatting right after talking to him. Trajectory, that team's trajectory looks like it's pretty good right now.
Yeah, I actually kept an eye on Carson through Martinsville up in the booth because did they have a lead lap finish? No, but there's a lot of guys that didn't.
There's a lot of good cars.
Only 13 cars in lead lap when they got all done with that piece, but you know, they're doing the right things. I look back through, you know, he talked about analyzing the pit stops, pieces like that. They had 3:11 second stop. They didn't have a 20 second stop.
Yeah.
They didn't have a 15 second stop. We see our top tier teams throw out 15s at times. So I think they're, as he said, incremental. And I think they're doing the right things. Luke, I've worked around Luke, you know, with the Ford program when he was at Roush. Roush Fenway back in the day. I didn't want to put Kozlowski in because he wasn't there.
Exactly.
But and then I worked with him a little bit last year at Legacy when he was in the 42, and I did those, you know, three races for Jimmy. So a great guy, very knowledgeable, very smart. But I think he's got a great, you know, you hear it there. They've got a plan. They're working. They've got a plan. They're working their plan. And it's realistic.
Yeah.
To start the season, we want to be top 25s. I think that makes sense. And now that we get to the point that we can do that consecutively, okay, maybe we need to make that goal top 20. Maybe, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this program grows. And they had a lot of success last year. I mean, when you put those two together.
Yeah, they were good.
Their program got better. So it's going to be fun to watch the maturation of this marriage.
I really like listening to Luke and listening to him talk about the just a lot of things in that interview. I really think when you look at it from the Spire standpoint, that to me is a really good hire.
Yes.
To have him in your shop. And not let we're moving three teams in and truck series teams, you move your stuff over here and we got to move our stuff here. Luke is a steady hand on the wheel. And to me, that seems like a really good hire for Spire, where they're at. mm-hmm. to have a veteran leadership in there, and I really like it. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch how this continues to grow. You know, Spire's been on Spire itself. I mean, yes. We went from, you know, not even a thought to competitive at Speedway races to last year. I thought they put together a pretty formidable season, and to grow into from one to one and a part to three cup teams, that's astronomical. Not to mention moving shops and absorbing a truck program. It's
aggressive.
It's aggressive. And there's going to be growing pains to it, but you look at it right now, I think this program, it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to grow.
Yeah. Loved his assessment of Texas. But what jumped in my mind and it's a place that's totally different, is Pocono. We always ask Pocono, what's important about Pocono? And a lot of people are like, get off that third turn because it's the longest run you have. Listening to him talk about coming out from turn two because you're going down through three and four, well, you might lift a little bit, might run a wide open. That is a long run. So I thought it was fascinating. Your take, what are we going to see this weekend at Texas? What are you going to be looking for at Texas?
I smiled a little bit when Luke talked about that, because my focus back, and now I'm Gen 6 history. That's where I was. But I was all about making sure that my car got through one and two.
Right.
But you know, I was also early when they repaved this place, the grip in three and four, you could run wide open through there. Even in dirty air, if you put enough downforce in your car, you could run wide open in dirty air through there. And I really, as I listen to that, there's a different mentality between what you need out of your race car if you plan on running the top five and what you need out of your race car if you plan on running 15th.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Because absolutely. In 15th, you know you're going to be in dirty air. It's you. So your mentality goes, I've got to have more downforce in my car. I've got to be where I can make moves in one and two, where I can turn in dirty air and get that run off of two. Mm-hmm. I can draft on cars down the straightaway. If I can run wide open through three and four, I'll draft on them down the straightaway because really, if you can run wide open through three and four, that's the longest straightaway we have. Yeah. It's the longest time we have outside of Speedway racing without lifting.
From two to one.
Yes. It's a mile and a quarter.
It's over a mile. Yeah, you get that second double dog leg, you got to wound up pretty good.
So, and that's back in the day, that was you always tried to draft your way into a position to take advantage of them off of, to get close enough, but you needed to handle through one and two to be able to make the move off of two.
Off of two, yeah.
Yeah, so I it's a unique racetrack with the two different ends. It seems like, as I've talked to different crew chiefs, the bumps in, there's a couple of decent bumps in three and four that are getting worse, and with how low you run these cars to the shocks and bottoming out the shocks,
hang on,
it's a challenge.
See what happens.
So we'll see where the weekend goes.
It'll be awesome. It really will be awesome. Cup Series and Xfinity Series, Performance Racing Network, PRN, has that coverage. We will be there, Motor Racing Network, Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, the SpeedyCash.com 250 for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. It'll be a fun race, that's for sure, and a fun weekend in Texas, and fun show here today. Always great to catch up with Luke Lambert, and always great to break it down with you. We had a ball up at Martinsville as well. So good stretch of time. That's
sure did. And looking forward to the second intermediate race of the year in Texas and on to Talladega after that.
There we go. Yep, absolutely. He's Todd Gordon. I'm Steve Post, and we appreciate you joining us this time here on Crew Call on the Motor Racing Network.